KXSS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden confirmed to have COVID, taking Paxlovid, symptoms said to be mild. Division among the Democratic Party, however, about his re-election. Here's ABC's Perry Russum.
According to ABC News contributor and Politico reporter Rachel Bade, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told Biden last week that she and other Democratic lawmakers worry he's dragging down the party. A Pelosi ally saying the speaker does not want to call on him to resign, but she will do everything in her power to make sure it happens.
At the Republican National Convention, vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance delivered his acceptance speech last night. Donald Trump will do the same this evening. His wife, Melania, and daughter, Ivanka, will be in the audience. Many questions about the lapses in security at Trump's Pennsylvania rally. Officials say the man who tried to assassinate him and did kill a Trump supporter was spotted 20 minutes before he took his first shots. Head of the Secret Service has agreed to testify Monday as she faces growing calls to resign. This is ABC News. A bit of controversy over one of the shows leading the Emmy nominations. ABC's Jason Nathanson has the story from Hollywood.
With the Emmy nominations Wednesday morning, The Bear set a record for most nominations ever for a comedy, 23. And among the shows it's up against for outstanding comedy is the final season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, with its 11th nod in that category. Curb showrunner Jeff Schaefer tells me it's kind of weird to be up against a show like The Bear.
I love The Bear. Bear's a great show. It's not a comedy. And I don't think they think it's a comedy. No one thinks it's a comedy. And there's a reason for that. It's not a comedy. It's a really good drama.
We'll see which show wins at the Emmys September 15th on ABC. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
A rare orange lobster has a new home in Colorado. It had shown up in a shipment to a Red Lobster restaurant in Pueblo, and the manager there says as soon as they saw it, they knew it had to be donated. An orange shell shows up in only about one out of every 30 million lobsters. Its new home, Denver's Downtown Aquarium. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The flavor in Yeti Yum's freeze-dried candy, it will take you on a trip from two-way to
gotcha.
It's a Yeti adventure. Yeti, Yeti Yum's. It's a Yeti adventure.
Craving something sweet? Then head down to Yeti Yum's in downtown Oshkosh. Try delicious freeze-dried candy, kombucha refill station, Lotus energy drinks, Lamer's dairy dipped cones, and fresh cotton candy. Yeti Yum's. Sweet, tasty, and family-owned. Stop by today or go to YetiYums.com.
If you sail or enjoy water sports, why not consider a donation to International Youth Sailing of Oshkosh at Miller's Bay on Lake Winnebago? This group has passionately built a community of recreational sailing for kids and families in northeastern Wisconsin for 16 years. A donation from you would help us to continue to educate and enrich the lives of children in Oshkosh through sailing. To make a donation or to volunteer, please visit us at sailoshkosh.com.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Advocates are demanding an investigation into the deadly police shooting of a homeless man in Milwaukee. It happened outside the Republican National Convention perimeter. Five officers from Columbus, Ohio, shot and killed Samuel Sharp Jr. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman says Sharp was threatening someone with a knife.
Someone's life was in danger. These officers, who are not from this area, took upon themselves to act to save someone's life.
About 100 people came to a vigil for Sharp. There are hundreds of law enforcement officers from all over the country here in Wisconsin to help with the RNC. Now authorities will start an investigation into the deadly shooting. And Thursday is the final day of the Republican National Convention. We're expecting speeches from members of the Trump family. And then in the evening, former President Donald Trump is expected to give the keynote address formally accepting his party's nomination. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
A Milwaukee Bucks player recovering from surgery. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Athletic reporting that the Bucks' Chris Middleton recovering from arthroscopic surgery to both of his ankles this summer. Middleton dealt with sprained ankles this past year, but is expected to be ready for the start of this season. Middleton turns 33 next month. NFL, Quinn Meinerz grew up in Heartland, Wisconsin, played football at UW-Whitewater, has just signed a new four-year contract with the Denver Broncos worth $80 million, making him one of the highest paid guards in the league. Packers training camp beginning next week. Jordan Love in Milwaukee holding a youth camp talked about one that he went to as a kid growing up in California.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, I think back my hometown, Derek Carr and David Carr both had a camp that I went to as a kid. So that was something that, you know, impacted me at a young age. And those are two guys that I looked up to and were from my hometown. And I think it was awesome. So that's something I've definitely looked forward to be able to do now that I'm in the same position as them.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be another really nice day today. Lots of sunshine, low humidity, and just a light breeze with a high of 78 this afternoon. Tonight, clear and cool, 53. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 80 by Saturday. An isolated thunderstorm, sunny. More humid, high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we wrap up the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Lincoln Project co-founder Reed Galen will be our guest. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, man. What a great way to start the show with those young guys, huh?
Yeah.
Just fantastic. Starting with the challenge at 4 o'clock this afternoon, finishing at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Right?
No.
Oh, do I have the timer?
Tomorrow, right?
Starts or tomorrow. 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 Starting tomorrow. But 24 hours of working out. And got Tracy Fluke here, who, for her, that's like nothing.
Right.
Three
oh,
times
come
a week.
On, yeah. No, that's something.
I just have to laugh. Your husband out there talk with those guys about all this. And Todd and I are both, let's just walk away from this conversation. We don't, they're talking a different language.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're talking about tapering because they're going to be doing the event soon. So you got to kind of not work out too hard before because you don't want to.
But Peter was saying that's the worst part of the thing because you want to get going and pulling back at that time.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's tired.
Yes,
stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, Tracy, introduce your special guest here.
Oh, my special guest is Matt Creasy. He is the Brown County Parks Director. And him and I would like to talk to you today about the Fox River Trail.
All right.
Let's talk about it.
You heard about my
and
ticket, right?
I did.
Okay. We're not going to discuss that right away. We're going to wait on that.
All right.
Just since you brought it up, John was on the trail, didn't know you had to have a pass. He said, I'll go buy a pass then. So he went over to the machine that wasn't working.
I didn't
and then
go over
she
to
gave him a ticket for
nice girl,
not
though.
Having.
She goes to Northern.
Yeah.
NMU.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe Matt can address you that
got
a little
some,
bit with the
I can
Rangers.
Tell you something you got on that troll. Some mean geese.
Yeah,
there are
absolutely.
Some that will just stand there and hiss at you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know what? You're on my trail. And they're like defiant, a couple of them, aren't they?
You know, you think that violation notice is bad. Those geese are a lot worse.
Oh, man. I mean, I got literally a
give
little,
it to them.
I don't want to say nervous, but it's like, is this thing going to come after me right
well, they
now?
Will.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Protective mothers.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
All right, so is the county doing anything to mitigate the geese problem there?
Yeah, we're letting the bikers come through and chase them away, and hopefully, you know, you can run faster than that mother goose.
Yeah, but you know, it's one of those things, though, too, where there are certain stretches where it's like they almost feel territorial, it seems like. Like, they're entering their domain, and then you go and you go, you know, long ways and nothing, but it's almost like a gang thing where this is our turf.
Yep. You know, if you think the geese are bad, wait till the red-winged blackbirds come down and take your hat.
Yeah. I've been attacked by them fishing at times. Got too close to their nests.
Yep. Great way to encourage people to use the Fox River Trail.
Yes.
I think we should talk about more of the positive things.
Okay. Yes.
That is a great trail. And isn't that one of the most popular trails in the state?
Yeah. So we manage 21 miles of the Fox River State Trail, and it is one of the most popular trails in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, if you look at it, we're connecting 6 communities. And it's a regional trail. People travel to visit that trail, but also it's not only those that are out for recreation or health and wellness goals. It's more of a social trail.
Yep.
I mean, you see people stopping and talking, meeting new friends. You know, one of the best stories that I have is back in the day, there was a gentleman who rollerbladed and he was, you know, a bigger guy. And as time went on, years went on, He always wore his belt, his same belt. And after a few years, the belt loops just kept stretching out. And it seemed like it was down to his knee. And he said, this is because of this trail that you guys put in.
Well, you know, it's funny because in the times I do use it, and I do use it pretty much, to be honest with you, you see a lot of the same people to the point now where we recognize, it just kind of nods. We don't stop and talk, but it's like, hey, I know you.
Right.
You're going that way, I'm going this way, but yep, I know you.
Yep.
And there's a lot of use for the trail, a lot of users of that trail, like I said, the most popular one in the state of Wisconsin. And are people abiding by the rules? I know that there was a period of time, I think it was 10, 12 years ago, but the people weren't. I mean, there were some accidents on there, and I think actually Sean Ryan's, someone in his family got hurt pretty bad. Rush got hurt on there. How are people, with a busier trail, you got to have more, not rules, you just have to abide by the rules that are there.
Well, that's exactly it. When we're talking about a lineal parkway and that thing is straight as an arrow with 21 miles, you get a lot of people and you have people of all different walks of life. Right. Some people, it's their first time riding a bike, and some people, they've ridden a bike every day for 50 years.
And a lot of people are walking.
And a lot of people walking. Then you have dogs, too, on a leash. So,
and rollerblades, like you just mentioned.
You know, we hate to put more rules on people, but at the same time, when you got that many users, you have to somewhat abide. And really, it's common sense. Be nice to your neighbor.
You know what I like is you got those benches strategically placed. For some reason, it's like, I need a break, and there's a bench.
Yep. So, yeah, there is some of those rules that work out pretty well for people. And the main thing is, you know, be courteous to your neighbor. When you're going to pass somebody, holler. You know, passing on your left.
I got to be honest. That doesn't happen a lot.
Not often.
It doesn't.
And it really should. I mean, like Matt said, there's so many people moving at all different speeds on the trail, and especially now that you throw the electric bikes in there. People are on an electric bike maybe for the first time, and they're going faster than their ability. So we just need to be very aware, slow our speed down, and let people know you're coming by.
Yeah. So electric bikes are allowed.
Electric
bikes
are
allowed. But motorized vehicles aren't.
Motorized vehicles are not allowed, so... There is a few things, you know, with ADA that we absolutely allow golf carts. Though you'll see a big placard on their golf cart if they have one. Electric scooters are not allowed. That question is so popular, but they are not allowed at this point in time. Electric bikes are, bicycles are, rollerbladers, skateboards, walkers.
So these little things here, what do you call these?
The scooters, the birds.
The bird scooters are not allowed.
One could argue why are electric bikes allowed and not those? And I'm sure you've heard that question. You don't have to answer it now, but I mean, right? Those are the kind of things you guys got to make decisions on. Why is there a fee to use the trail?
Sure. So back when the county board was looking at this and, you know, the state pretty much said that, hey, we have an abandoned railroad. You know, we're looking at multi-purpose trail, a recreational trail. So when the county board took it on, they said, well, you know, where's the funding going to come from? And at that point in time, that county board made a decision that we're going to charge a fee. So it's a pay-to-play system. So if you want to do anything with wheels on this trail, you're going to pay for it. Because we all know walking trails don't cost a lot of money. Not a lot of maintenance has to go into them. But as soon as you add those bikes and skateboards, rollerbladers, there's a lot more maintenance. So they said, all right, it's a fee-based trail. So that's where we're at. We have the $5 fee for anybody 16 or over, or $25 for the annual pass. What's nice is that $25 annual pass is valid at over 40 state trails across Wisconsin. So
yeah, I was on the county board when we did that, and we didn't have the money. You guys have a lot more money now with the sales tax, and there's just, is there any talk of just getting rid of that fee?
There's not, because now that the county board enacted it, I'm sure it could be rescinded, but basically it's within state statutes that it's a fee-based trail through the state, and it's been known as that, so we operate without tax dollars on that trail. You know, we take in roughly, let's so call it between 70,000 and 80,000 a year, and out goes 70,000, 80,000 a year on maintenance.
In the maintenance, do you do the snow removal as well? Is it a 12-month trail?
Yeah, so we do the snow plowing between Portlier and Adams, where the state trail starts, all the way down to Heritage Road and De Pere. So a little over 6 miles of snow plowing during the winter.
Want to see how many steps I took last time I was on there?
Let's see it. Ooh, 16,000. Nice.
And that's the day it was like 87 degrees.
That wasn't on your bike?
No, I was walking.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
That is.
You know, Jim, with the requirement of the pass for the trail, like Matt said, that helps with upkeep and maintenance of the trail. And, you know, $70,000, $80,000 doesn't do a lot when you think of it. You have one big culvert blowout, and that could take up to $70,000. So that's where kind of I come in and the Friends of the Fox River Trail. I'm the president of the organization, and we help with a lot of those improvements that maybe that aren't funded through the trail pass or aren't funded through the county for whatever reason. And we've done a lot of different improvements, smaller improvements over the years. Right now we're at the end, getting to the end of a major capital campaign of $2.3 million campaign. And we have about $30,000 yet to raise to resurface the northern piece, look at surfacing the southern piece, doing a bunch of culvert work. Matt's already done some of the work from the capital campaign. We put a really nice new trailhead down on Midway. The culverts are pretty much repaired. So it's really a good partnership, and it's been around since like the 80s. I think 89 is when the Friends Group started. And we really work together well, and that money that they get from the trail passes plus what we do, plus what the county puts in, because they do. They put some sales tax into it. They've put ARPA funds into it. So they have helped out, but it definitely is a great partnership.
You know what I think is the greatest part of it? Because I'm like Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets. I have so little faith in humanity, I look both ways before I cross a one-way street. And that's what I feel about drivers. So that's what's so cool about your thing, is you don't have to worry about drivers and whatever, and that's cool. But another aspect of it that I had no idea was, I love the historical parts. Mm-hmm. Like, there'll be the thing of Curly Lambeau's grave is right up across there. Yep. This was like the first settlement on the Fox River. I think that's cool, the historical part of the whole thing.
Yeah, well, and the views of the river.
Yeah.
Where else can you get that close to the river? It's beautiful, you know, and all the animals you can see. I mean, there's geese out there, but, you know, it's kind of nice to see them. And you get, you know, the egrets and you get the pelicans and all of that. So, you know, you get a lot of
things. One thing I'd like to do, though, I mentioned this to Jim. You said you could hook this up for me. Where it said, like, the first settlement on there is a little grassy thing across there. I want to metal detect it. Can I do that? Jim said I could.
You can. I don't know. You know, here's the issue is we don't even own the land.
Oh,
so the
I didn't know
DNR
that.
Actually owns the land.
Oh, forget and then it. They don't like me.
Our job is maintenance, operation, okay, and the day to day type of thing. So, it's just
I want to do an architectural dig. I mean, archaeological.
There might be something there. Tell me about policing the trail. I mean, I think that fine that John got. Just why? Tell me why you wouldn't give warnings for someone that doesn't know.
Absolutely. So a few years ago, we realized that compliance was an issue. You know, we might have had maybe 70% compliance on the trail. We rely on those funds to operate the trail. We don't have any other funding. So what we do is we started doing enforcement a little bit more in the last few years. And instead of issuing a citation, because I sure as heck wouldn't want a citation being on my bike for $180. Could we do it? Yes. Are we going to do it? Absolutely not. So county board said, hey, look at this. Let's do a violation notice for $10, and then you got to buy your annual pass. Because a lot of people would wait to buy their annual pass till the end of the year, and they've used the trail all summer. No, I didn't get stopped yet. I didn't buy my pass. So now there's that $10 penalty on top of it. So that is what I believe that John got the other day. And I think we made it right, too. I know staff brought that up. And what I understand is maybe there wasn't a machine working or something. So in that situation, we can absolutely understand.
You know what else I saw that day, though? And I don't know if this is the guy was just taking a break, but a cop car sitting like by the old Eve's restaurant, whatever, is looking at the trail. Do you guys, is that part of their thing, or was he just taking a break?
That's not part of our thing.
Okay.
So it is 100% county trail. So all of our ordinances apply. And really, we just want to see compliance at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, that's why we don't want to issue tickets.
Tracy, you spent more time on trails than probably any of us. Any enhancements that you think we need? I know there's some coffee shops and some things, and like Johnny said, there's some resting areas. Anything else you're looking at to enhance the trail?
You know, there's always things that we can do to enhance it and make it better and encourage people to get on it and stay on it, and whether it's economic development or just a place to sit down.
I like it. We got to set a quick break. Stick around, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back with more right after this. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like. You say black. I say white. You say bar. I say bite. You say shark. I say him and yours was never my scene. And I don't like. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. it's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey, welcome back. Tracy Flukey and Matt Creasy, Fox River Trail, Brown County Parks Director.
Hear that little bell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That?
Yes.
Remember we gave those away, that partnership, to put a bell in? I don't know if people thought it was, not masculine or whatever. That's a great thing to warn people you're behind them.
Absolutely.
Sometimes people don't want to yell and feels like, why you don't have to yell at me. But you ring a bell, it's like, that's okay. Yep. So I don't know if you have any programs coming up, because compliance, I agree with you. I don't think we need any more laws in this city, state, country. I think we need more compliance. And do you have a bell?
But what I'm saying is, I don't know if many people here, because I might be the only person who walks who doesn't have earbuds in.
Mm. Yeah. That's true.
I swear.
Too. Yeah.
That's
a problem too.
That is a problem. Yep, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
People do listen. Well, a lot of them listen.
I mean, you can just see them. Their mind is someplace else.
But, Johnny, maybe I don't want to. Yeah. There are people who've texted us saying, look, I listen to you guys on my walk every morning. So maybe we just let them
just
have the
earbuds. Let them go.
Loud bells. We need the listeners. Yeah, one of those horn things. But people, and then the animals just, you have to pick up after your pet. I mean, you have plenty of opportunities for that, too. There's really no reason.
I've never seen a problem with that.
Yeah, absolutely. We get random complaints on that, but there's a pet waste station
right
almost every half mile, it seems.
And you have some bike repair stations too.
Yeah. Absolutely. You get a flat tire out there and just start wrenching on your bike.
Yeah.
I like it. But Tracy, how does this compare? You've biked literally cross country four times?
Yeah. I guess four times. Yeah.
Four times.
Yeah.
How does Wisconsin compare to other states?
Wisconsin has a really good bike network, trail network. And other states also do. I mean, we were in Indiana and Ohio on one of our last trips, and they have some beautiful trails as well. And one of the things we found in some of the other trails is there's maybe a little bit more information out there for people to know what to do and what not to do. And also maybe a little bit more enforcement out there, and not necessarily to say, hey, we're going to give you a ticket for this or that, but to just remind people of what to do so it's safe and it's easy for everybody to travel on that trail. And I think what Matt's trying to do with the Rangers is do that as well, not just be heavy-handed in enforcement. He's just trying to make sure everyone's safe and having a good time out there. And that's what the Rangers for. Something happens, someone gets hurt, they're there to help with that as well.
So, Matt, this is, when was that? It was 96, 97, right, when we did this?
Yeah, 98, I think, is when the county board approved it.
Okay, but it took a while. There was a whole Reagan, the trails, that whole thing.
It's been that long, huh?
Yeah, right?
Wow. Yep.
It has. That was very, very controversial. Talk about your meetings at 10:30. That's nothing compared to some of those meetings that went to 12:30. But it's great. It's one of those, it's like the Packer thing. Now everybody voted for it, and I think everybody loves the trail. Do you have plans to expand that? Are we well connected? I mean, I remember seeing maps, and there was some things in the city of Green Bay, and then there was other things where municipalities would step up a little bit more. Do you have a master plan, or do you feel like it's built out?
So all municipalities have different plans. The county has a bike and ped plan as a whole. There's a lot of connections to be had yet that aren't there, because that is kind of a main corridor. You look at that as I-43, and that's the trail. And how can we get to the trail? So ultimately get to that trail, and you could travel down to Milwaukee on a trail. That's the end goal, creating a hub. And that's, we're looking at the Duck Creek Trail through Hobart and things by Pampern Park.
Right.
How can we get that hub, Mountain Bay Trail, to all connect? Doesn't matter where you live in the state, you can end up in Green Bay.
So what are your priorities then? I mean, because there's places, and then, Tracy, you've seen this, but there's places you can actually take a shower. It's unbelievable, some of the amenities that, and with the heavy use of the trail, and I think the Fox River Trail, like we said, is the heaviest use. What is the next thing that we can look forward to in terms of connectivity?
So I think one thing that the county has been working on is that Duck Creek Trail.
Okay, that's
a
good one.
And getting that over into the city. That can ultimately connect to the city portion and then connect to the state trail. So from there, I mean, wow. If we can get Mountain Bay, you can travel from Wausau, you know, all the way down into Calumet County. That's a heck of a ride. I mean, John, you might even want to do that.
We were talking about doing that this year.
We're thinking about doing that.
We're talking, because our meteorologist, she works out of Wausau. So we were going to meet halfway. She was going to leave Wausau. We're going to leave Green Bay, stop in Suamico, and she was going to meet us.
Yep.
Halfway.
Suamico. Yep. That's how far we'd get by the time she got to Suamico. That's why we picked that.
Got a text here. I've been walking my dogs on the trail. I found it well-maintained and safe. People on the trail are also very friendly, and I love the bike belts.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how people were opposed to it. Even as a county, it's like, I don't know, can we really do this? And it's one of the best things we've done. How about getting to Door County? Is that something that, do we work well with Door?
So there is plans. Town of Scott is working on some plans through Bayshore Park. We already have kind of a trail that runs through Bayshore Park, but Town of Scott is looking at some connections. Nicolay Drive is kind of a bike path and making some of that connection. Some of it's going to be kind of off-street, on-street ped routes. As far as a dedicated trail, there's going to be some street routes that make that connection. So, but it is being worked on, and there has been discussion over the last 10 years.
I think that's great. And are there some
rail? Doesn't it feel like you'd be going uphill all the way, though, if you go to Door County?
Right. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Tracy's got it.
In my mind, I feel like I'm going uphill all the way.
Yeah. Yes. Getting to Bayshore Park, that one hill on A, I think it is, that's a heck of a climb, you know? But once you get up high, it's beautiful, and Bayshore Park is beautiful, and that path that leads to Dykesville, it's a great ride, and, you know, people from that campground can easily get into Dykesville and get, you know, go to the restaurant or the
ice cream. Stop at Frosty Tip.
Yes, Frosty Tip. Yep.
And aren't there some train tracks being used now, but look at it being abandoned?
There is, even across the state, but there's a couple sections, even over the rail yard in the city, you know, looking at some of that stuff. So it's always being looked at.
Good. Well, that's what I want to hear, is that we're really looking, because sometimes people get somewhere and then they're done. And this is really just the beginning. I think you could really, Tracy, you talk about Ohio, and Matt, you mentioned Indiana, progressive areas when it comes to health and recreation. And, you know, I think Wisconsin can be that. And we have different, you know, gold, silver, bronze for bicyclists. I mean, that's, and I think Green Bay is bronze.
Yes, I think they are bronze.
They are.
Now.
I'm glad you're looking at that, Matt, because I think there's a lot more to be done. And we want kids to have safe ways to exercise. And I think trails are probably the best, if not one of the best.
Well, and one of the other things I think with trails that we forget about sometimes is the transportation aspect of it. Everyone doesn't have a car. Everyone doesn't move by a car. They need to move by bike, by foot, by whatever. So these trails are letting people get to work, letting kids get to school safely, and having that connection, it just enhances that much more. So we really need to remember that. You know, Matt said, you know, it's recreation, it's exercise, it's all that stuff, but transportation is a big key to it as well.
So Tracy, 30 grand to go on your capital campaign, that doesn't sound like a lot.
Yep.
What can we do to get you over the finish line?
You know, help get the word out. We have a private donor that's looking at it for us, and hopefully we'll have some additional money coming in with that for some extra things for the trail. We're still collecting funds for it, and we're working on it. We have a website. Yeah.
Facebook. Tell me.
Bayshore Bike Club. No, not Bayshore Bike Club. Sorry. Friends of the Fox River Trail.com, I believe.
Okay. There's a Bayshore Bike Club.
They're big supporters.
They are. That's a good group.
Yep. They've done some fundraisers for us donated money. So, yeah, it's been really good.
One of the days I walked this fall or the earlier spring, and I thought, wow, this sounds like a cool endeavor. Is it the Shrine Walk or something where they start?
Walk to Mary.
They start at St. Norbertish.
Well, that's a shrine.
And walk all the way to the shrine. Is that how it works?
Yep.
But there's a shrine at St. Norbert. So it's a shrine at the
Champion kind of area.
Yeah.
It's not called.
But I didn't realize that trail goes all the way up to there.
Well, it doesn't use the trail for the portion in the city.
Right.
Here.
Yep. Got it. Okay. And that would be very cool to have a trail that would go all the way. And there's so many opportunities. I'm glad you're looking at the future of this. And thanks for what you've done to get us where we are. I mean, it's just a great, great asset. And I think that's one of the reasons this was picked as one of the best places to live in America, because we have those amenities. Thanks. All right.
Thank you both very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Some good stuff. Come back again.
All right.
And by the way, I got a bike from your place, you know. That's where I got my bike from.
Nice.
Yeah. We got to set a break. Back after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
From green to glass, it's a philosophy serving one Wisconsin distillery very well. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. Driftless Glen Distillery, just outside of Baraboo, started in 2012. Their distiller, Nate Mahinsky, says the philosophy has always been to try to minimize their environmental footprint. One way they do that is sourcing all their grains locally, and once those grains are used, Mahinsky says it's right back out to the field.
A typical batch for us is something like 3,000 gallons and a little over 100 bushels of grain. Once that grain has fermented, we really have no further use for it. So after we've distilled the whiskey off, we have to find somewhere to go with that grain. And so working with local farmers to dispose of that grain, in our case, it's used as cattle feed. That's really been a win-win for us from the waste disposal side and then the farmers.
Nate Mahinsky, he's the distiller working at Driftless Glen Distillery just outside of Baraboo, getting ready to celebrate their 10th anniversary. He said right now they are sending whiskey to 20 states and 4 different countries using Wisconsin grain.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
And I hope you're getting ready to celebrate National Ice Cream Day coming up this Sunday. According to the International Dairy Foods Association and a recent Morning Consult survey, 97% of Americans love or like ice cream, but there's been a shakeup as far as their preferred flavors. The top 5 flavors among the general American public this year: number 5, cookie dough; number 4, butter pecan; number 3, strawberry; number 2, chocolate; number 1 favorite flavor, vanilla. That's just a quick update, literally, on what's happening in food and fiber news for a Thursday. More available anytime at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
This weather update is brought to you by your boat club, Oshkosh's premier outdoor clothing and equipment retailer. When you're serious about fun, shop your boat club, located at 1232 North Sawyer Street.
It is going to be another really nice day today. Lots of sunshine, low humidity, and just a light breeze with a high of 78 this afternoon. Tonight, clear and cool, 53. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 80. By Saturday, an isolated thunderstorm, sunny. More humid, high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Hey, folks, how you doing? It's me, Charlie Behrens, and I want to let you know that I'm coming to the Wisconsin State Fair main stage presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. We got tickets on sale over at WIStateFair.com, and I'm bringing free brandy for everyone. Unless for some reason I can't, then, you know, sorry in advance. Anyways, I will see you at the Wisconsin State Fair presented by U.S. Cellular on August 8th. Real good. Bye-bye now.
Wow, Wayne, that is a beautiful window.
It sure is, Jeff. It really tackles energy efficiency.
Sure has a nice slide.
It's one of the best screenplays I've ever seen.
They're so easy to close. I'd say it's a grand slam.
If you guys keep making those dad jokes, you're going to be a real pain in my neck.
Oh, that's a good one. Did you hear about this one? Five.
Get as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Search restrictions apply on 7/21/2024.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Very special guests, Tracy Flukey and Matt Creasy, Fox River Trail Band. Some exciting things happening with that, huh?
There's such an upside to that. So, you know what I mean? Like, we have a great trail system now, and you were surprised that was 1998. But
yeah! Because I remember the controversy and the man, owners, and yeah, I didn't know that was that
people
long.
Longer.
That's when you know you're getting old, when things seem like, oh, that was like 6 years ago. No, that was 25 years
and
ago.
The best argument was no one's going to use it. Now it's the busiest trail in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's working, but there's a lot more we can do there, and I think that's going to be interesting to
And you know what
that.
You can do? The good part about that is burning the calories. You can go to Cheeky Donuts.
Oh, yeah. That's
And
that's,
load
that's
up,
next.
Carbo load, and then go biking or walking.
We love the small business here on the show, and we feature a small business every week. And as a matter of fact, I have a show that's coming that's on Sundays. And this Sunday, all we're talking about is how to start a business. We got the chamber coming in to talk about the incubator and some of these programs. And then we have another guy that you can also start a business by acquiring a small business. You have taken the approach to start a business from, can we call it scratch? That kind of has to do with the dough. Get it?
Kim Thiel is her name. Cheeky Donuts is the
Cheeky Donuts.
Name of the place.
And you are starting a business, and you just got the keys to the property 8 days ago. So tell us what your plans are, why you're doing this.
Yeah, it's a wild ride. So
it hasn't. Just starting.
You want the whole story?
No, I just want to know. I'm really interested in why you were obviously working somewhere and you decided to jump into the entrepreneurial pool.
Where did the title Cheeky Donuts come from?
All right,
all these fun things.
So I've owned my own business for the last 17 years. So entrepreneurship is a familiar
kind of business
role to me. I am a photographer.
Oh, okay,
nice
in Appleton. So I've donuts. I mean, who doesn't like donuts?
Nobody.
I love donuts. I've had a beautiful journey with donuts in my life.
So have I.
And I'm ready for a transition. And I've known this for many years. And I knew it would be food. I come from an entrepreneurial family. My parents bought a coffee shop in Fish Creek when I was 14 years old. So
nice move.
A family run business for many years, coffee and ice cream. So it's my foundation, and it's what I know. And I always knew I would do something that would allow me to create community, create goodness, create just something special. And it happened to be donuts. It kind of came to me randomly during a road trip a couple years ago. I experienced the most perfect donut shop ever, in my opinion. A small menu. There was no fear of missing out. You could order one of everything. And when I got home from that road trip, I went to the library. I checked out a stack of donut recipe books, and I started playing with recipes. And then March of 2020 rolled around,
right,
like a couple weeks after that event. And my daughters and I started Curbside Donuts.
Oh, wow.
And we'd text all of our friends, and we'd played with recipes and toppings, and we just kind of like felt this out, and it all just evolved.
I just
want to
say this guy is salivating over here, not because of the donuts, but because this is exactly the type of thing that he tries to teach and encourage people to do.
Yeah,
so I'm just going to sit back and let him take over here.
I just thought that you do this test marketing, on the curbside with not that you didn't have a lot of risk with that, a little bit, but it's not like you had a bricks and mortar and a staff and a lot of equipment. You're probably doing that at home.
Yeah, we had a tiny little deep fryer.
Right.
We had we texted a handful of friends because we were making, batches of donuts 24 at a time. I don't want to eat all of these.
Right.
Like, let's give them away. Let's just spread some joy right now. So we'd message our friends and tell them to stay in the car and text us. And my daughters would make menus, and they'd run out with their masks on and take orders. And I would come in and make them. And we played Donut Shop for a couple months. And it was so fun.
I was going to say, that sounds awesome.
And
what a great way to kind of get your foot in the pond.
A little research, and because that's a good way to learn, because some people jump in and it's like, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I expected. This isn't what I thought my customers were going to say and do. You can establish your price points and everything else, which I'm sure you've done all that. So tell me about the plunge you're making. I mean, I can't think of a better word, but I mean, you're getting in deep if you're buying a building and getting some heavier equipment and...
So over the last 4 years, it was so much fun, and I knew I wanted, like I said, I needed a transition. And so I held myself accountable and I told everybody I knew, I want to open a donut shop. That was my mantra for the last 4 years. I want to open a donut shop. So I found a realtor. I probably looked at 6 or 7 buildings over the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. I put an offer in on one, it fell through. And I just had to accept, like, it's not the right time yet. Like, there's more that needs to happen. So we just, we did pop-ups out of our house. I partnered with some caterers. I did on-site donut making for a couple events. And it was so well-received that, I'm going to cry. There was no other option. Like, I had to do this.
That's cool.
I wanted to do this.
And you know in your gut if it's the right thing. I mean, yeah. I'm glad you're doing this. Did you get help from Kakana Business Association or Kimberly, or where are you at?
Kimberly.
Or is this totally bootstraps?
This is bootstrap.
Wow.
This is, so a couple months ago for spring break this year, I took my daughters on a road trip because I wanted them to experience this donut shop, and I wanted them to understand, like, what is in my head and what.
Where is this one?
It's in North Carolina.
Okay, we'll just go with that. Okay, all right, go ahead.
We did the road trip over spring break this year. They went to the shop. They were jaw dropped. They're like, "Mom, we have to do this.
Nice.
We get it. Like, this is totally what we're doing, and we can all do this."
Awesome.
And 3 days after that happened, we were driving back from North Carolina and I checked my inbox and I had a message from my realtor that said, "Are you still looking for a building? Because there's a bakery going for sale."
Oh my gosh.
Week. And I started crying and I told the girls, I'm like, "You guys, it's happening. Like, yeah, we're doing this."
Wow. That's cool.
And so
you are crying, by the way.
Yeah. But no, that is kind of neat because a lot of those special things are going to happen along the way. You wait.
Especially with a family thing.
Yeah. It's great to get the kids involved. And what a great place to work in a donut shop versus, like, we owned a coffee and bagel shop and I liked my kids working there versus, you know, like a gas station or something, you know, at night. But anyway, I think that's a great place to work. The reason I keep smiling, you say that I'm happy for her, and I am because I do teach this, but. Have you heard Jim Gaffigan's thing on the donut shop?
No.
Oh my God, that is funny. Just if you ever get stressed out, you Jim Gaffigan. He's a comedian. He's been in Green Bay.
Okay.
Listen to him and just scroll down where it talks about donuts, and he's funny. Okay. But back to you. Tell me about the variety of donuts you're getting, the different products you're going to offer, ingredients. You've got a kind of
what
model
makes
you're
you
looking
different.
At. Right.
Yep.
Okay, so this is a donut experience. This isn't something you just pick, you know, walk in and pick out. I'll take a dozen
of
these.
It's not Mr. Donut.
You know, no, it's not. These are made to order, so we are not going to fry them until you place the order. It's all one dough. They're more of an artisan dough. They're big and they're cheeky. They're literally cheeky. Cheeky
what
is kind of like
tell
unexpected.
Me what that means.
We're two really old guys. We're not quite sure what cheeky means. I think that term was used in Benny Hill back in the day, wasn't it?
But we do know what donuts mean.
Yes.
But so cheeky is the name of your business, Cheeky right. Donuts. So what does cheeky mean to?
To me, it means like it was a nickname when I was a kid.
Okay.
And they are cheeky. They're like they're big and fluffy. They take on their own shape. Everyone is different. These aren't like cookie cutters. These are all hand ripped. Hand-fried, hand-topped. My slogan is made with love, made with order.
Nice.
Or made to order. And so they're only served warm. So this is a donut experience. You're going to walk in. There's an open kitchen. You can see us doing everything.
Yeah.
There's going to be 4 flavors. I'll have 3 signature flavors.
How exciting is this for you?
Yeah. So there'll always be a cinnamon sugar pistachio cardamom. And browned butter maple glaze.
Ooh, those don't sound very good.
And yeah, so imagine putting that in your face and it's warm and fluffy and pillowy and like, where do you get this?
Wow.
So fun. This is an experience.
Good for you.
It's going to be fun to follow you. So tell us your timeline. You got the keys to your building 8 days ago.
8 days ago.
I'm assuming it needs a little bit of work.
It needs a little bit of work.
And you're going to do that work.
Yes. So the last 3 months have been a wild ride of writing a business plan, you know, pulling all the things together, polishing up the logo. Like, it's go time now.
Right.
It used to be a dream, and now it's go time. And so it's like, I need all of this. So now I'm like, I'm just wearing a different hat. You know, I'm going to hardware stores 3-4 times a day. I'm doing as much demo and cleaning and everything as I can, working with a team that will bring my vision to life. And I'm kind of leaving it. I want to build this intuitively. So I don't have a hard plan. I want to leave room for growth. I want to leave room for evolution. I want to get up and open right now. And
let me ask this. The mechanics of it. So somebody walks in, and do they just read off a menu and say, I want one of those pistachios and a so-and-so and a so-and-so, and then you guys cook them right there while they wait for them?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And that doesn't take long, right? You're deep frying. The dough's made. I mean,
we'll be able to do 2 to 3 dozen at a time. Yeah. So we'll be able to file through many customers.
That's awesome.
You said you wrote a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Did you write for your own? Do you need a business plan, or was it a bank or your family to this is the plan, you guys?
Okay, so this was the difficult part that I just experienced, is I don't have history. I have my small community of like pop-ups and friends and like a couple, you know, catering events, but I don't have a tax history. I don't have anything to prove to a bank like this is a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I had to sell myself.
Yeah.
And so I put together a beautiful business plan, lots of pictures. It shared our story. It had I'm weighing everything out. I'm making lots of donuts and I'm figuring every little piece out as far as profit and, you know, all of the things.
So you've done this about as hard a way as possible. Your own recipes, your own menu.
Is there a difference?
You don't have a background to get the loan. Obstacle.
You did take that plan to a bank. You did get some kind of financing. Right? I mean, tell me how much. I don't care about that.
She had a lot of times, it seems like, where Chris said, this is too much. We can't handle it.
Right.
And you kept that confidence.
Right.
I knew there was a path. I just had to find it.
And that, I would just encourage you, and I'm sure the bank told you, keep that business plan on your desk. A lot of people write it, get the loan, and then file the business plan. And you need that because that's your heart that's in that business plan. You spent a lot of nights writing and redoing it and writing some more, and you got all the costs in there. And yeah, that's your roadmap. I mean, it's going to evolve, like you said, but I mean, you need to be profitable. I mean, that's the name of the game. So
I like your courage.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know any other way. This is how I started photography.
That's pretty cool. I know you kind of grew up in that world too, which takes a little bit of the edge off. And your daughters are all in?
Yes.
How old are they?
Finley is 16.
Okay. That's good age.
And Ellie is 13.
Perfect.
Good. And there's no child labor law, so they can work all the time. You know, there's no hours. That I always enjoyed that about having my kids work.
Sounds like a good school clothes job, as the people used to say when I was a kid. You know, you work all summer to buy school clothes.
Right.
I was thinking about you because I've been following her on Instagram and stuff like that, and they've been doing a little demo.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God, John.
If you need a demo guy, I'm your guy.
Yeah, she's passed.
I'm phenomenal at demo.
That's why she came in today.
Phenomenal.
Buddy, what did you just do?
Right. Now I got to buy that again.
Not that wall.
I got to buy another sink now.
Yeah. I know. I said the south wall.
Yeah.
Well, the directions are not near the
sketch.
Thing. It's
not my thing.
Yeah.
Hey, so what's the target date? Do you? Are you on a plan?
I'm telling everybody fall.
You have a soft opening type thing?
I'm hoping for fall of... this year. I need some demo guys.
You want to get...
God.
If you got the building, did you buy it or lease it?
No, I bought it.
Ooh, you want to get going on that.
I'm there.
I know.
I work for donuts.
I'm there every single day.
Some people work for peanuts. I work for donuts. Yeah.
I'm there every day
right
now.
That is funny.
Good for you.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's great. I'm happy and proud of you. I think I love the entrepreneur. And like Johnny said, you know, you get the family involved and... You know, you wouldn't be happy unless you did this. Great. You know, you're one of those people, you don't want to sit at a bar when you're 65 years old and like, coulda, shoulda, woulda. You know, this is cool you're doing this.
Wow, thanks, Jim.
That's exactly what I was telling myself. You know, I can't be on my deathbed thinking, I wish I just had the courage.
You know, I'm telling you something. This is no lie.
It's not too late, John.
Get his business card right here. If you have issues like that, this is honestly, I hate to give him compliments in anything, but this is such his wheelhouse. If you got questions, I'm not even kidding. That'd be a good guy.
I'd love to help you.
And she's got a tile floor she needs busted up. So
yeah.
I love the enthusiasm.
He's
enthusiastic.
Kim Thiel, Cheeky Donuts, new business will be starting up in Kimberly.
We're gonna follow.
Please,
you.
Promise us you'll keep us appraised of how things are going.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
I'm happy for you.
We're gonna send a quick break. Back after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
Signature Homes was founded about 25 years ago. Shortly after we started our real estate business, we realized there was a need for new construction. So many times we're out showing property to buyers and they aren't finding what they're looking for. And if we can't find them what they're looking for, we need to have another option. And so we started to customize homes and really make them specific to the customer's needs. That model has grown over the years. We started with building just a few homes and now we're building 30, 35 homes a year. We have showrooms in all of our locations. If you just want to walk in and learn more about our building company, we can do that.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey, welcome back. Boy, special thanks to Kim Thiel. I'm pulling for her. And you know what? When you are so passionate about something, you're like 75% of the way there, aren't you?
She'll find the way.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, she's doing it right so far, right? She did the whole, you know, kind of test kitchen type thing on the curbside at home and went and found a model that she really, really likes, that one down in North Carolina. This is what we're going to do. And but with all that said, Johnny, she's still going to have some struggles.
No question. It's business.
It is. It's business. And I think she's going to be fine. Her heart's in it. And that's the key. And she's not doing it for the money, although she needs to, you know, make it profitable. But she's really doing it because she found a niche and she likes the whole cheeky thing. The donuts look like cheeks or whatever. And I think that's cool. I think she's got a real niche and it's going to be a lot of word of mouth for her.
And the thing is, you know, we talk about, and we've talked about different businesses. It'd be fun to start up, whatever. But, you know, in those kind of businesses, the number one question is, do I have something so unique, so popular, so great that I can convince people of something they don't need, but to take money out of their wallet and give it to me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And when you say give it to me, she's going to be the face of that business. And
yeah.
She's got an awesome personality.
Yep.
And people are going to want to support her as an individual. And sure,
imagine
like
how
great
good
product.
That place is going to smell.
I know, right?
Now, if you, instead of the garlic thing that you downed last night in like 30 seconds.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, imagine you'd go to there and how good you would smell.
Yeah. Maybe we'll talk into garlic.
Garlic donuts? Talk to Wayne about that.
It's interesting this approach. It's going to be fun, like Todd said, to follow her. I mean, she's going to open up in fall, which, you know, that's a couple months away, but it sounds like she's got a lot to do. But she's going to do it. She says she's in there every day at the hardware store four times a day.
You got a big, like, sledgehammer, John?
Johnny.
Not here at my apartment. I do in Manitowoc. Okay. I don't have one here.
Next time you go back, bring it.
Okay.
I think I've got one.
Okay.
We'll just show up one day, whether she's there or not. We'll just start busting up the floor.
I love it.
Make sure it's the right floor.
I love it.
Ever spray paint it or something. Just
Todd,
do this.
Todd, that was the wrong floor. That's
right,
what she just had installed.
Right.
Yeah.
I could see that happening. I've developed a passion from you talking about new businesses and small businesses and things like that, because there are so many things that I didn't know go into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many, you know, so I hate to say it, but so many things that you could go wrong.
Or that you forget. And so then you open up, it's like, oh my God, what, you know, where's this? And
your eyes have to be so wide open.
They do. And just something, you know, she knows this, but you know, people think sales, I'll get sales to cover this, but there's fixed costs. There's costs that whether you sell anything or not, your rent, insurance, you know,
it just
that stuff is going to be there whether you sell anything or not. And people need to understand that it costs us X amount to open the door. And, you know, so you got to sell something. But like I said, this Sunday, when we talk about small business in Green Bay, and that Lean Local is a little bit more focused to Green Bay. But, you know, Sean's going to come on and just talk about, you know, his experience with the depot.
Yeah.
With the store, with White Dog. And, you know, To acquire a business is interesting. You know, if they're not doing real well, you can get them at a really good deal and save yourself money. To start a business is very difficult because nobody knows who you are. And to get off the ground is really hard. But there's support in this town here. Like I said, the chamber, the incubator, I started my business there. And I think the other thing that she said that I think made a lot of sense, and it did to me when I was, you know, her age probably, is I did not want to be old and say, I wish I would have done
that.
Like, even I told you last night at that scholarship thing we went to, you know, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. And those are dreams those kids have, and they really got to pursue that, you know? And I just really wanted a business.
You know which one of them I would like to contact through the thing and try to help?
The sports guy?
Yeah. One per everybody's biomedical engineering.
All these astronauts.
I mean,
and,
unbelievable. Yeah, these people going to Purdue for aeronautical engineering, yada, 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 yada. And the one young guy, I want to be a sportscaster. It's like, I want, hey, somebody in my wheelhouse that I could actually help.
Yeah.
The only one I could possibly help. I would love to do that.
Yeah. I think it's going to be fun to follow those kids. Kids, you know, they've got their dreams. And again, I just think it's important that people try it. And if you try it and it doesn't work, and Dr. Chen talked about that a little bit, you know,
he gave a great speech.
Like, if you try it and it doesn't, it's not successful, that doesn't mean you failed. I mean, there are people that are supporting you out there, and you learn from your, so I don't know. I think this, you know, she's going to be fine, but
I thought Dr. Chen last night in his speech to these students, I thought he said some things that are almost basic, but you don't think of it. It's like, you know, just doing it is an achievement.
Right.
And he talks about, oh, he was down for a while. I lost. I didn't get it. But it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let me back up and look at this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought his speech last night was really, really good.
And I think people need to know how much people don't support you to win. They support you because you're trying.
Right.
I mean, you know, he goes, look, even if you fail, they still support you. People, I don't know, they low self-esteem or whatever, but people think, like, oh, I failed, nobody supports me anymore. Yeah, they do. They just, you know. So he was very clear on that. And he went through some struggles, even with that Jeopardy. Like, I'm one question away. How much?
Just late at night, he'll still think about it. One question.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, geez, that was great. And that what he said was applicable to, you know, life and so many things that people, you know, you do it and it's okay to lose because you don't really lose because you got where you are. You
right.
know? And that's in and of itself a huge accomplishment.
So anyway, in this another part of his thing he talked about last night was be happy for the people that beat you or that succeed if they're good people.
You know what?
Felt a little bit guilty, he said, after winning that one time because that one guy was so nice.
Okay, that's real maturity.
When
you lose
and you're happy for that person.
And you're happy for the other person.
Yeah, I know. I'm that way.
Oh, yeah.
If they need a picture of somebody happy when his competitors beat him,
yeah,
that would be me.
That would not be you.
That would be me.
But I thought that was a really good point, and that will take away your anxiety because you're happy for
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
But that's...
And he's like, let it go. You know what I mean? Let it go is the... Actually, I was reading one of the things. I read stuff. I mean, about, you know, and one of the number one things you can do for your mental health is to let it go.
Yeah.
Just let it go. And that's so much easier to say than do. And I don't. I never let anything go. But still, I think that's the best way to do it.
But something that is a good thing to do, but I still, in getting through every day and life and stuff, I do still like the gratitude list. I like waking up and saying, you know, I'm glad I'm alive, but I'm glad, thankful for this. I think that's a good way to start your day. And there's a lot out there. But even if you lose, he's like, look, be happy for that person, and you're going to feel better about, you won't feel as bad about losing. I think that's what he said. And I think that's true. So anyway.
You know, in all the sports I played, I never did one of those handshake lines. Not one. Isn't that terrible? What was wrong with me?
Man, see, John?
What was wrong with me?
Come on, man.
Todd.
You'd be happy for the other people.
I know. I'm just, see, that's the thing. Sitting in a bar, 65 years old, drinking, feeling bad about things you did or didn't do. We guys got a quick break. Katie Kamen, downtown Green Bay, Art Street, coming up.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Crude and Dom.
Join the Devil's Advocate's Thursday very special RNC coverage. Former Governor Scott McCallum at 4:20. Our friend in labor, Rick Smith, at 4:30. Join us.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
This is the story of the one.
As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support.
WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.